Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on this silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you are well and that you are safe. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have a beautiful topic of discussion yet again for us to contemplate and to ponder over. And once again, we are joined in studio by our respected scholar, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Mu'ini Qadri. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. How's Mawlana Sahib keeping?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And how are you doing, Mr.?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, and we have another important topic of discussion with the viewers to share some insights as well, inshallah. Before we go straight to that, let's make some good intentions by recalling the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make the good intentions. O Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your ridha, for your pleasure and happiness. For the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. Subhanallah. You know, there are so many beautiful bounties and benefits, blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amount of durood e pak, salawat or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah. Our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who recites Durood e Pak just one time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that person with 10 rewards, forgives 10 sins, and raises that person's status in his court by 10 times, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like this, try to dedicate some time on a daily basis for the recitation of Qur'an-i-Pak, Durood-i-Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources. These are the things that are going to help us to gain blessings in this world, will help us in the grave and on the Day of Judgment as well, Insha'Allahu Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are going to be talking about Karbala, but what lessons have we learnt? This we will be discussing in a little bit of detail to help us to ponder and to make some good intentions to implement whatever we have learnt, inshallah. We have a wonderful question for today, and you can view this on your screens as well. Then after a sign of judgment day, when the sun rises from the west, what will happen? After a sign of judgment day, when the sun rises from the west, what will happen? We all know the sun rises from the east, but a day is going to come when that sun will rise from the west, and there will be consequences, there will be repercussions of this. What will that be? We will share the answer towards the end of the silsila, so stay tuned to the end. We have a beautiful kalam which we will request our director Saab and our team to please inspire us with. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Hussein ibn Ali, Ya Hussein ibn Ali, Hussein humare hai, Mawla Hussein humare hai, Hussein humare hai, حسین ہمارے ہیں. فضل رب پاک سے ہم ہیں غلام نے سے سایہ افغان ہم پہ ہر لمحہ ہے فیضان حسین دی کی خاطر سے کٹا دوں گا جھکا کربلا کی سرزمین پر تھا یہ اعلان حسین ہمارے ہیں حسین ہمارے ہیں حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں
جانو دل سے پھر جانو دل سے پھر ہوئی حوران خلد پر نساس
عین موقع پر جو پکڑا حرن دامان حسین عین موقع پر جو پکڑا حرن دامان حسین ہمارے حسین ہمارے ہیں حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں
اللہ اللہ یاد اس کو آ گئے پیارے نبی اللہ اللہ یاد اس کو آ گئے پیارے نبی
جس کسی جس کسی نے بھی ہے دیکھا روئے تابان حسین حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں
شمع گل کر دی ہے میں نے جس کو جانا شمع گل کر دی ہے میں نے جس کو جانا ہے وہ جائے
تھا یہ دسویں رات کو خیمے میں اعلان حسین تھا یہ دسویں رات کو خیمے میں اعلان حسین حسین ہمارے حسین ہمارے ہیں حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں
کربلا کی سرزمین سے آ رہی ہے یہ صدا کربلا کی سرزمین سے آ رہی ہے یہ صدا
اسلام پر ارفق ہے احسان حسین گردن اسلام پر ارفق ہے احسان حسین حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں حسین ہمارے ہیں مولا حسین ہم ہیں غلامان حسین سایہ افغان ہم پہ ہر لمحہ ہے فیضان حسین
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم مولا حسین ہمارے ہیں without a shadow of doubt. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is indeed our mawla. He is our helper. He is our support. He is our leader as well. There's no doubt in this. And yes, the tragedy of Karbala, it still remains fresh in our hearts, in our minds, and it shakes our souls as well. Whenever we hear the incidences, even how many times we can hear it, but still you will feel something. That emotion is there, that the tears will also flow from the eyes. But again, how many Muharrams and Ashuras and Karbalas have come and gone? How many remembrances of it, year in, year out? But what are we actually trying to do with our lives? In this today's topic, what have we learned from Karbala? We need to understand, if I claim that I love Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, if I claim that I love the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, I love the Ahlul Bayt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I say I love them, but I neglect my salah, if I say I love them, but I don't worry about sunnah, I don't worry about the teachings, the commands of the Quran, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what kind of a claim is that? It's an empty claim. It's just lip service. I need to take those lessons and I need to start applying it in my life. One of the great lessons that we all know about is sabr, is patience. How patient was he? How tolerant was he? That he sees his family members, he sees his sons, his little baby Ali Azhar radiallahu anhu. He sees his sons being martyred in front of him, slaughtered, butchered, massacred in front of him, his companions. Yet he is an unshaken mountain when it comes to upholding the flag of Islam, upholding the truth. So yes, this was a battle between truth and falsehood. This is one of the main themes, or one of the main lessons that we can learn from Karbala. Definitely is this truth versus falsehood.
And this battle has been there ever since the dawn of mankind. The first enemy and the open enemy of insan, of humans, we know as devil. Quran warns us about it, that he is your open enemy. Yet we don't take heed. The battle started then, and he opposed Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, father of mankind, refused to prostrate before him, though it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, this battle was fought over and over again between Satan and his followers and those that are following the command of Allah subhanahu, that are propagating the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the religion of Islam. We see the example of it in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, fighting against Namrud and his forces. We see the example of it in the life of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, fighting against Pharaoh and his army and
all
his tyranny.
All prophets of Allah.
All prophets of Allah. And we see the example of it in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fighting against Abu Jahl and the likes of him. Allahu Akbar. So this battle continued, and the effects of it, we saw the same battle history repeating itself in the plains of Karbala. The battle between truth and falsehood. And Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he practically showed us how to stand with the truth and obliterate the falsehood.
Even if you're few in number.
Allah.
That side there can be tens of thousands. On this side you could have under 100, which consist of women folk, of children as well. But so long as you are on truth, then you have to stand up for it.
Definitely.
Even if it means giving the ultimate sacrifice of your life. I mean, we don't have to give that kind of a sacrifice. And that's another aspect, another angle, na? That sacrifice, Islam is the name of sacrifice. What sacrifices am I doing for the deen? I mean, I'm so busy in the rat race of life, with my work, with my family, with vacation and holidays. So what time am I giving? Because time today is expensive. Time is money. What time am I giving if I can't give for the, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, what time am I giving for my own development, my own Islamic development and the development of my children or grandchildren, my offspring? Something for us to think about. Because Karbala is there to motivate us. We don't mourn the martyrs. The martyrs have that status because they became martyrs. And therefore we are remembering them. Because the martyrs are not really dead. So we don't mourn those who are alive. They tasted their death. But as the Quran is mentioned, we can't understand they are alive. So how do you mourn those who are living?
And alhamdulillah, this is another lesson we can learn from Karbala Masab, that Ahlul Bayt were there, the women folk were there. They never made matam, they never wail or beat their chest or pull their hair or anything of that sort.
They maintained
and their veil wasn't removed even, Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah, in the face of hardship, when they are seeing their own children getting martyred, their own brothers getting martyred, and their own nephew, Sayyidina Qasim, radiallahu ta'ala, being martyred on the plains of Karbala. Imam Hussein, their leader, being martyred on the plains of Karbala. So they don't lose the patience and they persevere through it. They don't lose, they don't start wailing and pulling their hair and all sorts of practices that people do in the name of Ahlul Bayt for the sake of Ahlul Bayt. No, if the Ahlul Bayt never do it, that should serve as a lesson for us.
I mean, something very important that you said, that the women folk, the honorable women of the Ahlul Bayt that were present over there, they still maintained their honor, their dignity, their respect. Now, let's look at today. If maybe some people, they lose a loved one, they lose a child, an infant, what's the reaction?
Allah.
I mean, some people will go to the extent of, you know, not controlling their tongues and start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This innocent child, what did this innocent child do? That innocent child belonged to Allah and returned to where it belonged or to whom it belonged, Allah Azza wa Jalla. But what is my response? Me as a lover of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and Ahlul Bayt and Sahaba Ikram, what is my response? Is my reaction, my response part of the teaching of Karbala, part of the lessons of Karbala, or I'm just acting on emotion whereby a person can make a statement that could lead to disbelief, where a person could question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who am I and who are you to question Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? This world is a prison for the believer. We heard the narration hadith many a times. This is our prison. But when the true believer passes away, he enters into his paradise. And for the disbeliever, he sees paradise, eat what you want, make merry. And then when he passes away, when he dies, then he enters into his prison. So we have to think about this seriously. And not just for us, for your offspring. I always come back to this point because this is what our teachers used to tell us. That don't just, what you learn, don't keep it to yourself. Don't just worry about yourself. A believer, you know, what he wants for himself, he wants for his fellow Muslim as well. We want that, you know, we want Jannah. We want Jannatul Firdaus. But we have to work for it. We want to be in the company on the Day of Judgment of Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah, of Ghawsi Pak and Khaja Sahab and Ala Hazrat and the pious people. We want to be in their company. But how would that happen if I'm not following in their footsteps? I don't establish sabr and patience in my life. Whenever I'm faced with difficulties, what is my reaction? If I lose somebody, if I lose my wealth, if I lose some property of mine, do I sink into depression and leave my salah and, you know, start saying bad things, thinking bad things, etc.? Or do I really follow in the footsteps of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and have patience? You mentioned a narration before when we were off air that sabr is at the first instance.
Yeah.
So how come we don't apply this when the teachings are there? The teachings are there in black and white, but we don't apply this into our lives. Illa mashaAllah. Yes, there are those that do, but there's so many people out there sometimes maybe ourselves as well, that because as a human being, we get emotional, we get sentimental, and you know, we don't worry about what we say, what we do, and there's consequences of that. If I truly love the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, because this is the balance to it, that we love both of them. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is the group that has been foretold, that has proper beliefs and the system that is there in place. We don't question, we don't dig into the history of before, of whatever transpired. What we have to do is learn the lessons and move on from there. Sallu ala al-habib,
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, you mentioned something very beautiful, that beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about this world being a prison for the believers. And if we know we have made this choice, right? As we say in our daily conversation, you made your bed, now you made your choices. Now you need to stick to the consequence. There, for every choice, there are consequences. For every action, there is a reaction. So now we made the choice, we knew what the outcome would be. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated the summary of the ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purchased from the believers their lives and their belongings in exchange for Jannah. So we made this exchange, we made this deal. Now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala on the plains of Karbala, he taught us how to practically honor this deal by giving his own life and his belongings, sacrificing everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To honor this deal and to teach us a lesson how to live up to this contract that we signed up. That yes, we are here for the sake of Allah. We are here for the sake of Islam. If Islam wants our sacrifices or monetary sacrifices, we are here, alhamdulillah. If Islam requires our sacrifices of our lives, then also the Imam Hussein's example that he set in Karbala, that should serve as a lesson for us to follow, inshallah, and to follow into his footsteps and earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time, the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, Sawajan. If only we practice. But, you know, they say, practice what you preach. So we continue saying that, you know what, me, I'm a great ashik, a great lover of Ahlul Bayt, of Sahaba, of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the practicing part in many people's lives is missing. So I need to add truth to that by practically implementing those lessons of standing up against batil, against falsehood, against oppressors. Because Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, we already know it, did not give his hand into the hand of the tyrants, to the oppressors. The tyrant leader of the enemy army, I mean, he was a known alcoholic. He was a public offender. He used to allow riba, interest, usury, and so many other immoral things which are completely against Islam. So there's no ways Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu could give his hand and pledge allegiance and thereby justifying his wrongdoings, his vices and his sins. Now, people out there who love Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, but won't stand up against injustice and oppression, who themselves maybe are busy drinking alcohol, wine, champagne at these parties, who are themselves not worried about how their womenfolk dress, with whom they are going out with, who they are conversing with, what social media sites and online chats and friends they have. I mean, because we just discussed the women folk, the honorable women folk of the Ahlul Bayt, they still maintained their parda, their veiling, their hijab. They maintained that even in that so difficult situation of losing their sons or their brothers, but still they didn't, you know, they didn't complain. They had sabr. And is that not a lesson for our Islamic sisters? If some problem enters into their life, that they still keep their salah maintained, they still keep their honor and their veiling maintained. So if we truly love, you know, to follow these people, We must do it in action. Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. This was her flower, Imam Hussein radiallahu anha. Not just hers, but the flower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned some of the hadith about Sayyidina Imam al-Hasan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah, that they are my flowers in this dunya.
Subhanallah.
My flowers. And he used to, you know, hug them when they were little, and he should sniff them, smell them, because you smell flowers. Allahu Akbar. He mentioned that they are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. The enemy side, they knew this as well. They read Quran as well. They read the Kalima as well. They made dhikr. They performed salah. They did all of these things. But they had the disease in their hearts. Their hearts were sealed. So if you are in situations where there is injustice, there is oppression, no matter who is in front of you, if they are contradicting the laws of Islam, it's not my law and your law. These are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. These are the laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Mula Ali, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, they implemented. And if I claim that I love them, then how come I won't stand up for it? How come I won't implement it in my life and in my home as well? How come I let my offspring do as they please? Listen to music and go to this party and that party and club and pub. And you can see what's happening in our societies. We complain all the time. What am I part of the solution? Am I trying my best to root out these fires and these evils that I'm surrounded by? It's up to us. We can do it. We have to become the change. Don't wait for the change. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and his family and his companions, they stood up against that injustice. Another very important factor is his endurance. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, his tolerance, his endurance, being thirsty for 3 days. I want you to picture it. Put yourself in that situation. I mean, if we are hungry, we miss one meal and patience is out of the window. That, you know what, I feel like, I'm finished. 3 days. Imam Ali Maqam, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and his family, and baby Ali Asghar radiallahu anhu, and his companions, they were deprived. Where the animals had access to water, the noble family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, the companions of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, they were denied this.
Allah.
They were deprived of it. Yet, they still held high the flag of Islam, the flag of truth. Even though they were made martyrs, but who were the victors end of the day? Who are we remembering? Who are we remembering? Every year, year in, year out, Imam Al-Hussein radiallahu anhu and the noble family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That also shows us, Master, not to go after instant gratification, momentary pleasures.
It's a big problem that we have, yes.
That, yes, it Yazid, the tyrant army of the time, they had this pleasure for a very short while. They took pleasure in doing what they did. Very short while. It wasn't long lived. But the sacrifices of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is remembered even up till today.
Absolutely.
After 1400 years. And it will be remembered until the day of judgment. Because as long as the battle between truth and falsehood, it will stay. As it has been from the dawn of mankind. And it will stay till the end of mankind. The last battle will be fought between Sayyidina Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the evil forces of Dajjal. Allahu Akbar. So this battle, for as long as it will be fought, the legacy of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu will carry. And something else, that if we read the history of Karbala, we get to realize that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he truly taught us and propagated the message of Quran, alhamdulillah, to the extent that when he was martyred and his Mubarak head was hoisted on the spear, he was still reciting the Holy Quran. That was the miracle of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that how to spread the message of Quran, even after you have given your life away, you still continue this to spread the true message of Quran and Islam.
Subhanallah. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in some of the hadith, there are different narrations where that I leave behind two things. The God is Quran. One narration says the God is Quran and my sunnah. And this is the God is Quran and my family.
Subhanallah.
So alhamdulillah, we Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we stick to that Quran, Kalamullah. We stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We stick to the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we know in this lies success. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, how fortunate are we that in the era that we are living in, I don't have to explain it to you, but Dawat Islami is that guiding light, is that shining light, that lighthouse in the darkness of confusion that is out there. By the magical orators that mesmerize us, that hype our emotions and try to instill wrong beliefs in a person. So Dawat Islami is there, one of those movements of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is working globally to help us understand what are correct Islamic beliefs. Not just that, but to help us to practice, to motivate us, not just in theory, but by establishing platforms, facilities, activities, practical things that are to be done to reform ourselves and to help reform others as well. And if you're following Dawud Islami via social media especially, or if you're attached to any Madani Markaz Islamic Center of Dawud Islami, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't got involved as yet, it's not too late. Get involved for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that you and your family have a support structure. This essentially what is Dawud Islami. It's a support structure that my eyes close tomorrow, I know my offspring are in good hands. Because we're living in the time of confusion, where people intentionally are confusing masses out there. And Dawud Islami is one of those lighthouses that brings us back to the teachings of Al-Quran, to the teachings of the Sunnah, to the teachings of Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt Athar, to the teachings of Awliya Allah. So get involved, and believe me, I tell you, you will see for yourself how your life changes positively. You will see for yourself how you get the motivation, the constant reminders. We need the reminders as well.
Yes.
How Karbala comes every year to remind us. How Eid Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes every year to remind us. Urs of Awliya, Sahaba, it comes every year to remind us. So like this, Dawud Islami has the facilities in place to remind us all the time. If you are filling Nek A'mal, if you don't have it, download it for free from App Store and Play Store. Pious Deeds Nek A'mal. So you are constantly reminding yourself every single day about Salah, about intention, about respecting your parents, even about obeying the traffic rules.
Subhanallah.
Because the Dawud Islami wants us to become upright citizens as well. And a good Muslim is an upright citizen, subhanAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. I want to quickly repeat the question for today, that after a sign of Judgment Day, when the sun rises from the west, then what will happen? You can view the answers on your screens. As soon as the signs appear, the door of repentance will be closed. And nobody's acceptance of Islam will be valid.
Allah.
When will that time take place? Allah and His Rasul knows best. But what we need to do is quickly make tawbah in the court of Allah. Quickly make tawbah and repent in the court of Allah before those doors of repentance close forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of Shuhada'i Karbala, give us that great fortune of sincerely repenting before we leave this dunya. Ameen bijahi khatimin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to an inspiring filler. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muharram al-Haram is a virtuous month, and in fact it's the first month of the Islamic year. In this month, many historical events took place. And one of the most renowned events incidents was the tragedy of Karbala. So many lessons can be learnt, lessons of patience, lessons of perseverance, standing up for the truth, and never giving into falsehood. These are beautiful lessons that we learn from Sayyidul Shuhada Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now, when we face difficulties in our lives, sometimes we think, nobody's faced a difficulty like me. Nobody's faced problems like me, calamities like me. They can't relate to me. The great Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that the tragedy of Karbala was such a massive tragedy, a tragedy of colossal amount, that whenever you face difficulty in your life, think about those who suffered in Karbala. Think about those who were tested in Karbala. And your difficulty will automatically seem trivial. That's not to say we're not going through problems. We are going through problems. But are we in the middle of a hot desert, deprived of water? Are our children being martyred before our eyes? Are the women folk from our family being abused, ma'adhallah? None of this. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the shuhada of Karbala and those who accompanied Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu in Karbala, we are given patience. The first thing that scholars say is that you should ask for afiyah, well-being, that you don't even face difficulties. But if difficulties are in your muqaddar, your destiny, then you must face them. And that's where you're supposed to ask for patience upon those difficulties. Ya Allah, grant me sabr upon those difficulties and calamities. And always remember, the waqi'ah of Karbala, the people of Karbala were tested to an extent that we have never been tested. For their sake, may Allah forgive our sins, ease our affairs, and grant us afiyah in abundance.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In conclusion, what advice do you have for us?
Masab, Imam Hussein, one critical lesson we can learn is that when he went to Karbala, meaning his destination was in Karbala, he was going to Kufa, he was going there to fulfill a promise. Mm-hmm. Fulfill his promise that I am here to help you. I am here to rescue you from the evil forces that are making you pledge allegiance to them forcefully and unjustly. I'm here to do justice to you, bring justice to you.
Right.
Right. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala taught us this, that even in the face of difficulty, he still went to fulfill the promise. He still went to keep the flag of Islam high. He still was there to instill the moral values of Islam. And on the other hand, we also get to learn, I mean, we judge and we say that, yes, people of Kufa, they broke their promises, they were backbiting and they went back on their words, they broke their promises and so on and so forth. We curse them and so on, you know. In our day-to-day life, we have so bad things to say about them.
Yes.
Whereas we ourselves are guilty of doing those things. So that, again, a lesson for us is to stay abstain from those things that they did to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and on the basis of that, we blame them that, you know what, they did wrong.
Yeah.
Whatever they did very wrong to Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, to Sayyidina Imam Hussein, to the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whereas when we do, is we don't look ourselves into the mirror that, you know what, am I not the guilty of the same thing? So, inshallah, we need to put it into practice, as Masab, you've very beautifully mentioned that saying the things and doing the things are two different things. We must put our actions behind our words, where our words are, where our, you know, how we like to pass judgment and so on. We need to take a closer look at ourselves and introspect whether we are fitting the description first, inshallah.
So, wise words there, jazakumullahu khairah. How much have I changed from last remembrance of Karbala to this one? Questions to ask ourselves. I'm not there to judge you. You're not there to judge me. Let's judge ourselves. That, you know, if I make the claim of love, then I must support it. Support with actions for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So that on the day of judgment, inshallah ta'ala, if I'm in the company of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and the pious people, then, you know, I can be little bit proud that, you know, I tried my best to follow them. And I can request them, please accept me. I'm your servant. Subhanallah. So as we, and as Mullah Abdul Qadir Sahib mentioned, that, you know, we speak bad about those individuals who are the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt and Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan. Let's not follow in their footsteps. Let's not follow in the footsteps of Shaitan. Let's follow in the footsteps of the glorious Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan, the honorable Ahlul Bayt Athar, the blessed Awliya, and above all, the beloved Master Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll catch you next time only on Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.